This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Kerry Dixon Show in association with ChelseaFan12.com, the home of the 12th man, the fan. Check out their fantastic memorabilia, all their news and videos on their website, which of course is at ChelseaFan12.com. And also check out their Chopper and Chivs show, which is recorded at the Butcher's Hook after every home game and then goes up on their site. And of course you can follow them on Twitter at Fan12Chelsea. And as always, a very warm welcome to Kerry Dixon. How are you, mate?
I'm fine, thanks, Dave.
I know where you were at the game last night. I know you were at Arsenal on Sunday, but I'm going to kick off with Arsenal because it would be remiss of us not to talk about that first. I think it was a bit disappointing overall getting a 0-0, but I think that the main kind of controversy, for want of a better word, that came out of it really was Louise's tackle on Kolasinac and talk of ill discipline amongst Chelsea being our third red card in five games. And having been there, and I know you were, I felt the supporters were grumbling. You get that grumbling noise when you think you've got a referee who's not giving us the decisions that we want. So I mean, kicking off with Louise, do you think that was a reckless tackle, Kerry?
I've got to go down and say, under the letter of the law, in the new laws, which Chelsea have found to their cost, are being employed quite stringently, it's going to come down as reckless. You can't do these tackles anymore. And it's not having a pop or anything like that. It's just stating the obvious. He did overrun it slightly, and then he's dived in. And when these situations happen, if you don't get the ball, well, even if you do get the ball, if you hit the ball and then go over the top and hit someone, you've got to think about breaking their legs. If it happened to one of our lot and, an opposition player had done it, everyone would be up in arms, bad tackle, that was out of order. And seriously, if you do break someone's leg and put them out 6 months or something like that, you've got to think of these things. And the laws are put in there for that very reason. I'm not one for saying that, in days gone by, when you see the Chopper Harris tackles and you see, the Vinnie Jones antics and things like that, I've played in these times and, I've seen people get broken legs and it's got to go down as a plus, when they're trying to outlaw that type of tackle. For the mere fact that for every one player that might get his career ended, it's just not worth 5, 6, 10, any amount of red cards for players losing their career. So I've got to go down and say that the laws are being upheld. And, that particular challenge, in my opinion, even though it's one of ours, it breaks the law and he's going to have to take his punishment, as Gary Cahill has and other people as well.
I've got to say, Kerry, I have to say, mate, that is really, really refreshing to hear, because we don't get this view enough. And as you rightly said, you used to play
in those times. And a lot of my generation will go around saying, yeah, we love it, you know, get stuck in, put your foot in, Chopper Harris, blah, blah, blah. But we were never on the receiving end, you know, and I think it's lovely to hear you come out and say that. Kind of moving on from that, I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about Chelsea being ill-disciplined. I mean, personally, I don't think we are. And I wrote a blog this week kind of pointing out that, you know, when it comes to bookings and red cards and all that kind of thing over the last, well, 15 years, we're about average, frankly. We're neither good nor bad. But do you think there's any merit to that we are a bit ill-disciplined?
No, I don't think Chelsea are an over-physical side. We'll get onto over-physical sides perhaps later on in the show with what we've got coming up. And or previously, that's not a diss either, you know, to Stoke and places like this. But, you know, you're talking about getting involved in a physical game. Some of the people who aren't sure about physical game will know about it in that particular match. But I don't think Chelsea are, as a rule. You know, we've got players who could challenge, and we've had players all through our history who could actually make a tackle and, you know, be involved in that type of thing. But I don't think Chelsea are a over-physical side. There have been mistimed challenges, which, you know, as I've already said, players will take it on the chin and take their punishment like men. But I don't think it's ill-discipline. I think it's just a case of we've had a little spate of mistimed challenges. And, you know, if we have to be cautious in the future, then that's got to be it. You know, just defenders before you dive in, just take that split second not to realise to do these things and try and stay on your feet. You know, it's something that's a bit of a learning curve for defenders. Every time they bring in a new rule or they make some changes, people have to adjust their game slightly. And, you know, in the modern world, this is what's got to happen. And, you know, as I've already said, Chelsea are finding it to their cost, but I don't think that they're an over-physical side.
That's right. Well, I think you're right. I mean, you know, with our old mate Ray Wilkins would say, stay on your feet. I think that's the message, isn't it? I mean, I think the thing that annoys a lot of supporters, and it's, again, I wrote about this in the blog, but, you know, I've been sat in where I've been sat for about 15 years, and I've definitely had a feeling that we get on the wrong end of some inconsistent refereeing, i.e. we get penalised for challenges that other sides don't, and it seems a bit of a mystery. Again, I think the facts don't actually bear that out, but there is that feeling. But, I mean, you know, I think, you know, I mean, on the one hand, Michael Oliver, you know, booked Morata for gobbing off because he was really frustrated that he felt things weren't going his way. And on the other, they had their offside goal ruled out. So, to be really honest, I think, you know, it kind of goes around, doesn't it? You know, and it evens out, really. Do you think there's a bit of merit in that?
I totally believe that. I never used to get involved with referees. as I said, I don't think I was booked 5 times in my career. But, you know, when I felt things weren't going your way, you just realise there's no point in mouthing off to referees, getting yourself booked and all of these sort of stuff. Referees got a job to do. It's not an easy job, let's face it. No one would want the job. Some make more mistakes than others, and they get penalised within the laws of, you know, what their own referees association and people do. They get, you know, drop down divisions or whatever. I don't really know, but they're human beings and they're going to make mistakes. And I think it is a case of over the season, you're going to get some. If you get the rough luck too many times, you know, I really do believe it's not a place to be moaning about it. It's just take it on the chin and just say it doesn't seem to go for us. And, you know, I've never been one to continually moan about the laws. They're there. You play within them. You've got a referee that does good jobs or bad jobs every game we go to. And I always say I'm, you know, this show and other shows, and whenever I talk to people, I hope it's a game, it's a tight game. I hope it isn't decided by a referee's decision or, you know, a penalty or a sending off and things like that. And so does everyone else who goes to football. But they are aware of the fact that these things can happen. You know, that's part of it. It does happen at times.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get it for you and sometimes against you.
Definitely. It's part of the game. Nobody's perfect. Players, supporters, and even referees. We should really talk a little bit more about the game, I think. And, you know, I think what surprised me afterwards, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, because we both kind of predicted a fairly comfortable Chelsea win going on the form. But I think what was really interesting was that Arsenal, you know, unusually for Wenger in recent history, to be honest, Kerry, but he really came with a tactical plan, you know. And they stifled us, and they pressed us, and they defended very, very well. And, you know, out of that, I wonder if Conte might have, you know, been lulled into that in a sense because, you know, he picked Fabregas instead of Bakayoko. And with hindsight, which, of course, is a wonderful thing, maybe he might have done it the other way around. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I'm not going to look at Fabregas or I'm not going to look at Bakayoko's ambition or whatever, team selection, and say that that was the reason for the result. I think that Arsenal had a particularly bad couple of results, certainly the Liverpool 5-0 prior to, they took a real hammering for that, leading into the Chelsea game. And, you know, their players come into the game with a degree of determination that they're, you know, they're not going to allow Chelsea to win. And I think each and every one of them found that 10%, which I don't think Chelsea on the day matched. I think Chelsea played a normal game, a fair enough game. Arsenal, I felt, were the better side, I have to be honest. But I felt that they were the better side because they found that 10%, each and every one of them. And, you know, it's only a small fraction that makes a difference between a team that gets thumped 5 at Liverpool and then turns in a performance to defend and challenge and work and a little bit of luck. You know, when you think Pedro went through and he had his chance, but then Ramsey went through for them and kicked the post. It could have gone either way with one of them opportunities. But I think on the day, Arsenal deserved at least a point and arguably 3. And it was 2 points dropped for Chelsea. But I don't, right, so I don't necessarily think it was a game plan. Yeah, I don't think it was a game plan or tactical nous by the managers either way, or masterstroke by Wenger. I think it was just the players had been hurt by criticism of their performances in a red shirt prior to, and they found that little bit in a game that was, you know, threatening to possibly be rammed down their throats if they didn't pull their finger out.
Mm. I'm inclined to agree with what Wenger said actually post match, and he kind of gave that sense that, you know, they really didn't want to lose that game. And I think it's interesting to hear what you say, whether they set up to not do that or not. The reality is that they battled really hard not to lose that game. I think it was a fair result, a draw. I don't think either side deserved to win it. I don't think either side really created enough to win it. But I don't actually think either side deserved to lose it either. So I really think, you know, a draw is a fair result. I mean, you said a minute ago you felt it was 2 points dropped by us. I mean, I'm not so sure, but tell me why.
It's 2 points dropped because it's an opportunity against a side that was on a downer. We were at home. Mm. They were coming into the game not full of confidence, it has to be said. And, you know, all sorts of stories were being written about Arsenal. And they weren't on a good vein of form, if you like. They were on the back foot. And it was an opportunity for us to put them further behind, I felt, with Chelsea at home. Didn't pan out that way. You know, they came and, as I've said, and, you know, any game at home, I think Chelsea have got to be winning. This is how I look at the season. And I include the Cities when I think it's going to be tight, and I include the Uniteds, and I include Arsenal and Tottenham. We've got to be winning them games. And we've got to pick up something away from home. Then we're looking at the champions. I include all the big guns in that, you know, with Europe coming up as well. And I've said to you before, and I've said to people on the show, we've got to be winning our home games. That's the basis for, you know, titles. That's the basis for trophies. Win your home games and then take something away. If you can do that, you're going to be looking at 75%, and invariably 75%, you know, points will put you there or thereabouts in the league, and it'll put you there or thereabouts in the Champions League and every other competition. Win your home games. So that's why I say any points dropped at home will be, for me, 2 points dropped.
Hmm. Okay, no, that's fair enough. I'm glad you explained that. And I actually, you know, hearing what you say, I think that's a very valid point. Just moving it on to Forest last night, which is always interesting, and I think everybody was excited to see, you know, who Conte would play and who of the youth in particular. But I think just to kind of summarise it first, really, it ended up being a very comfortable win. But I think the benefit of it, I talked to you off air a minute ago, I think the benefit of it was that for Conte, it was a very useful game to have because he's managed to get the likes of Bakayoko and Hazard, who have not been 100% fit yet, you know, get them more up to speed, as it were, as well as check out some of the youth, none of whom disgraced themselves at all, did they?
No, it was very refreshing. Very good exercise. But these things were always good after the event. You know, Every team, it seems, makes changes in this competition now. And the art of it is utilising your squad, getting the best out of the players you've got at your disposal, and getting the result, which is what it's all about. And, we talked about Arsenal. I wonder how they felt. They're beating Doncaster just 1-0. With Doncaster hitting the bar as well. You know, was that a good exercise? Mm. Well, they won the game. Chelsea won comfortably 5. And, you know, everyone's really refreshed. We put some youngsters in, as you've said. They impressed on what they did. And that's what you expect of these youngsters. But the art of management is putting these people in, if you believe in their ability. They themselves have got to hit the ground running and, you know, do what the manager believes they can do. And if that be the case, then Chelsea's squad, in whatever game they've got, it'll be slightly different against Everton, I think. You know, that's going to be another interesting one who's drawn in the next round. But certainly against Forest, Chelsea's squad should be good enough, if he gets his selection right, Conte, to beat the likes of Forest with whoever he puts out. Because we've got, within our squad, the team to beat Nottingham Forest. And we proved that that is the case with the players that that he put out. And credit to Conte, because the art of winning this competition is doing it, utilising the squad within the realms of trying to win the competition and winning each individual game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he did very well with that. I mean, it was very pleased. I mean, you know, with all that talk before the season really started and all the, you know, everybody saying we'd had a horrific transfer window and we haven't really added any quality or whatever, it was really good to see not only, you know, some of the backup players playing well, but also, I mean, 5 academy players on the pitch. I mean, okay, I they're not going to start every game, obviously, and maybe, you know, most of them won't actually make it. But it was good to see him do that, and a lot of people kind of left last night actually feeling quite warm and positive about the future for Chelsea, and maybe there is a chance. I think Charlie Musonda Jr., as we should say, I think he was the one that impressed most, isn't he? And he scored a fabulous goal, and it was lovely to see, you know, how much that meant to him. You know, you know all about that, but it was lovely to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I always say hit the ground running, and a 17-year-old coming on or starting his first game and then scoring a goal, it must be absolutely euphoric for him. And it certainly was, you know, beaming and quite rightly so. Did well, as did all the youngsters that played. And indeed, some of the squad players, you know, you can go for each and every one individual performance, but you know, Batshuayi, I always say there's no bad goals, and he's got 3 of them. People say he got 2 bad goals, but, you know, there's never such a thing. He scored a hat-trick.
No.
You know, we're talking about the Morata, and I'm still not totally convinced. I was convinced, and I'm not convinced the Arsenal game. I'm, you know, Arsenal and Tottenham now still lingers in my head. Is he the real deal? You know, people say 3 and 6 and so on. I don't know. Batshuayi must be thinking, hold on, I've got a hat-trick against Forest. What more can I do? No matter how they go in, I'm there. I'm in the positions. I had my doubts about him. Could he do it? All right, he's done it against Forest, and you can only do what's in front of you. There's all sorts of things going on in this squad. You know, there's youngsters trying to get in. There's established players trying to get back to fitness. There's people fighting and vying for positions. There's all sorts happening at the moment. And, you know, that's good and that's healthy. Chelsea are in a decent position. When we think back to the debacle of Burnley at the start of the season, and, you know, what a bad way to actually start the defence of your crown. We're on the upward curve again this season. You know, the two Manchester clubs are setting a pretty hot pace at the moment with all what they're doing, certainly City with the goals that they've got and, you know, some of their performances. But all will be revealed with us and them in a couple of weeks' time. But, you know, Chelsea are in progress, I think. You know, whether you like the transfer window, don't like the transfer window, whether you see progress with the kids, Chelsea, I believe, under Conte, are going in the right direction. And last night was one of the refreshing moments of the season.
Mm. Well, I agree with that totally. Just going back to Batshuayi, I mean, you're right, you know, he scored a hat-trick. You know, he's a striker. That is, in fact, what it's all about. But do you get a sense that he is improving as a player?
This is amazing. How many games do you have to, or how many times do you have to watch a player to change your mind?
Yeah.
You know, back end of last season, you see him as, I tell you what, he could challenge, he could push for it. Then you see the start of the season, my goodness me, what's happened? And then you think, Morata, yeah, he's going to be the one, and I don't know. And then Batshuayi comes in and scores, hang on, he might have learned his lesson, he might be looking apart. I really don't know on both players for different reasons. One's 30 million, one's 60 million. Not that the cost of anything will determine how good or whether they fit in or not. At the end of the day, they're part of a team, and that team is winning or, you know, going in the right direction, as I've said. And each of them are playing their part as and when, and doing their bit within. It's when the results start to go the wrong way that people start to dissect and have a look, a closer look at what each individual is doing and putting into it. While Chelsea are winning and doing what they did last night, I'm not talking about the Arsenal game. If that was the last game, it'd be a slightly different momentum for us and slightly different feeling, no doubt. But last night was good. Stoke's going to be a different kettle of fish at the weekend. And as I said at the start of the show, you talk about a physical game and you talk about a physical team. They're slightly different. Stoke, you know, Hughes has got some intricate ball players within the side and he's trying to play football and trying to change the style of Stoke, which was sort of set out under Tony Pulis. But nevertheless, it's a tough place to go and it's not going to be easy. And, you know, as refreshing as it was last night, I don't expect Conte to be putting too many kids out for this particular game.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
No, I second that, and we'll get on to who he might put in a minute. But, I mean, talking about Stoke, it's an interesting game coming up. And, you know, I often feel that Stoke away is quite a barometer or a benchmark, really, in the season because, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted. It's cold up there. It's grim up there. It's a very, very hostile partisan crowd. You know, and, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted. I mean, I speak as a supporter. I love it. You know, going up there is great fun. But you can see that there are some players who might not fancy it. Some of these, I hate to cast aspersions, but a few Continentals might not fancy it. But, I mean, added to all of that, historically, you know, as you mentioned, certainly under Pulis, Stoke have been a very, very physical side. And they, you know, they stick it on you, basically, Kerry, don't they? And I think, you know, it's really interesting because one thing we didn't really pick up, you know, on the Arsenal game was that there was a sense that we were kind of physically, you know, bullied a little bit by Arsenal, which is unbelievable to say, but I think that was the case. And that's, I think, something that we absolutely expect against Stoke. But you said a minute ago, I mean, they are perhaps not the side that they were in that context, so maybe it might be a bit different.
I'm not so sure. You know, you've already set out all the reasons of why Stoke are Stoke. And, you know, if I could throw in a situation, perhaps if it was a night game and it was raining and pouring and freezing cold as such, it'd be an even more unnerving experience, if you like. But nevertheless, it's going to be an afternoon game. And, you know, it's still all the ingredients that you've said, a partisan crowd. If you're a Stoke person, by the way, that, it's a wonderful atmosphere to go down to Stoke and be supported by a fervent crowd, noisy, and get behind you and then see your player ripping into tackles and so on. It's what was encouraged. Mark Hughes is trying to do something different. I still expect any team put out by Mark that they'll stand their ground. And, you know, you can't change the nature of the beast if you like. A lot of Stoke players have got Tony Pulis's thoughts and you know, been playing in and around that. Okay, there's lots of new ones in and around that situation, but the mentality of we won't get beat, we're at home, is very much on the Stoke agenda, and something that each and every manager, you know, Jose Mourinho, our place, make your home your fortress and don't get beat here. And, you know, Mark Hughes is no different. They won't want to get beat at home. They see that as their fortress, and it's their foundation for staying in the Premier League. Chelsea are going to find it tough. And if they thought that Arsenal, each and every one of them, raised their game 10%, well, Stoke will be totally different from anything. They will raise their game. They're at home. They have an expectancy from the crowd. And, yeah, they will put it on whoever's out there. And Chelsea have to stand up and be counted. And then their superior skill, if indeed that is the case, should come through. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. All the ingredients that go into a game, as we've discussed, the referees, the setting off, the penalties, the rash tackles, that's all still part of it. And it will be tested none more so than at Stoke at the weekend.
Absolutely spot on, mate. And I think that's the thing. And I mean, we, you know, in recent past, we've seen Chelsea lose to Stoke up there, but we've also seen them kind of really grind out a really gritty, you know, narrow win. Cahill's goal last season springs to mind. And I remember Malouda getting one. I think it might have been a title-winning season then, but, you know, kind of almost last-minute goal. And it is tough. It's a battle. And I think you're right. You know, they've got to really stand up, you know, to that. Because if you know, Stoke will try and intimidate them, whether they're, you know, the bullying side of old or a more footballing side now. And I think the interesting thing in that is that, for me, it all comes down from Mark Hughes. I mean, you know, Mark Hughes is a Chelsea supporter, and yet he seems to delight on getting one over us. And I think his determination to do us over seep through to that side. Have you noticed that?
Well, I know Mark and Eddie, and you know the crew at Stoke, and you know, I think they take delight in beating anyone. If they take more delight in beating their old club, it would only be because it is their old club. You know, I don't see any more special delight, but it would be great for Stoke and their supporters and that, to beat the champions. And if you look at it the other way, if we take the Forest game out of the way, if you like, and we were to get anything other than a win at Stoke, people have been saying Chelsea champions. Well, they've took 2 points out of their last possible six. That's why I say Arsenal has dropped 2 points at home. We're now expecting to get something at Stoke, but it's become even more important we get something, because all of a sudden we could be on a non-winning run if we weren't to win at Stoke, and that could then go into three games. We've got City coming up as well. We're away in Europe. All of a sudden, these runs can start, and people will be piling on the pressure. And, you know, it's all part of the game these days. Newspapers saying, you know, you didn't win in Europe, didn't beat City, lost at Stoke, drew at home to Arsenal. What's gone wrong at Chelsea? That, you know, all of a sudden, the euphoria of Forest 5-0 and how refreshing it is can start to look lost the way people spin things around. Stoke has now become an important game in the league. We want to keep pace with the boys at the top. We now need, because of the Arsenal game, we now need to win at Stoke. And I think it's become a priority for us.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you know, their form has been a bit up and down, really, Stoke, this season. I mean, they drew 2-2 at home against United. They beat Arsenal 1-0 at home. And they lost to Newcastle away and Everton away. And they drew with West Brom. And they're kind of mid-table. They're 13th at the moment. Of course, their best player, Kurt Zouma, won't be playing for them, obviously. So that's good for us. One of our own, of course.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's interesting. For me, you know, I'd rather concentrate on Chelsea, really. And I think he's got an interesting team selection ahead of him, I think, hasn't he? I mean, for me, it boils down to three. I mean, obviously, somebody's got to come in and replace Luiz, who's banned for three games. So, for me, that's either Christensen or Rudiger. the other issues really are who partners Kanté, and frankly, I would go for Bakayoko because I think he's quite a presence in midfield, and we need that. And then I would imagine, would it be Hazard for Fabregas? So what do you think of those in turn?
You've already said it. That's exactly what it would be. I think it would be Christensen will be unlucky, but I think it will be Rudiger. I think it will be Bakayoko. And, you know, Hazard will come in because he's the man that will unlock things. So I do believe that. But I don't necessarily think Fabregas could be out. It could be one of the wide players. He could change it slightly. Yeah. He has got one or two options, but certainly Bakayoko will play in midfield, I would think. And I certainly think that Rudiger will come in ahead of Christensen. Bit more experience. And of course, you know, he bought in. But Christensen can count himself unlucky. I think what he's done so far, he'll certainly be challenging. And if he does get the nod, like I say, it's going to be a new experience for him. But he'll have to stand up and be counted because it'll be, if he gets the nod, it'll be one of them situations. This is it for you, son. If you fail this one, I don't see you getting too many more chances.
Which seems quite harsh because you're right. I think he's been really impressive actually the games he's played for us this season. But I have to agree, mate. I think Rudiger just edges it. He's a big unit, is Rudiger, and you know he's a German international, so he's no mug. So that I think that gives us a bit more of a solid feel at the back. Bakayoko's a no brainer for me in a match like this. And I think it's, you know, obviously, if he's fit, you know, as a Chelsea supporter, you want Hazard to start. It's as simple as that. I thought he showed some glimpses last night. I mean, albeit against, you know, a fairly poor Forest team on the night. He showed some glimpses last night of what a special player he is. I mean, that the way he set up that goal for Batshuayi was... I thought, actually, you know what I thought when I was watching that? I thought Zola. It was so Zola-esque, wasn't it?
Class. Absolute class. I'd have loved to have been on the receiving end of a lot of his passes and the way he plays. Sometimes he disappoint because he want to beat players too many times. But listen, why would you be disappointed in someone wanting to beat players? You know, if you can beat the opposition, it causes havoc and takes people out of positions. He is, for me, not going to say our one world-class player, but in his position, he's the one single piece of skill that can unlock these tight games. And, you know, the only way he's going to get fitter is to start playing games. And, you know, whether they be good, bad or indifferent, you know, he's got to start giving him game time to get his fitness level up. You can't just say, oh, he gets a bit more time off the bench. He's getting 20 minutes. He's getting a half. He's got to start playing. And for me, if he's fit, as I've said before, he plays. So if he is fit, none of this keep him on the bench. We've got Hazard to come on because a half-fit Hazard continually coming on is never going to be the Hazard which we know.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, of course, another good point to make is, of course, that Phil Bardsley's no longer at Stoke, so there won't be anybody, hopefully, in the Stoke side that will try and snap him in two.
I'm sure there'll be one or two. Don't worry about that.
I'm afraid so. I mean, it's actually interesting, you know, just quickly, because we should kind of move on to what we think might happen. But I remember we discussed this on the Fancast on Monday that, you know, maybe Morata could learn a thing or two from Hazard. Because I thought Morata was going down, you know, to ground very easily against Arsenal and looking to the referee. And actually, one of the most commendable things about Hazard is how he's changed his game. And he gets a right shellacking every game, let's face it, Kerry. But he gets up, picks himself up and gets on with it. And that's really what you've got to do, isn't it?
Well, it's a case of he's been a few years now in the Premier League and he knows what he's going to get. It's not going to change. And defenders of opposing teams relish the fact if he's got it the week before and they say, I've got him next, let's give him some more. He's moaning and groaning about everything. They love it. And it's going to be the same with Morata. Mm-hmm. People will find out Didier Drogba took him about a year and a half to find out about. This is not going to change. If you're going to play, you're going to get it week in, week out. And every opposition, centre-half or full-back or whatever, you're going to get served up and... this is how it is. So get used to it, or you have to get out. You know, they say, you know, heat in the kitchen comes to mind. This is the kitchen, you're in it. And so get used to it.
And it's bloody hot. Right, so I think we need to nail our colours to the mast. I mean, I think it's a pretty tough game to call this one. And for me, it depends on whether we're at it or not. And as you were saying earlier, if we're prepared to kind of stand up to them and not be intimidated. I never, ever like predicting anything other than a Chelsea win, as you well know, Kerry. So I'm going to go for 2-1. But frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 0-0 or a 1-1.
I'm totally in agreement with you, mate. It's on the day is what turns up. Chelsea's best team playing their best football, turning up at Stoke, will win the game. Refereeing decisions, all sorts of Stoke impetus on the back of whatever results they've had for whatever need they have. I think a defeat was their last one.
They lost to Bristol City.
Did they get beat up there?
Yeah. I think they lost to. Yeah, they lost, I think to they lost City in the League Cup. Bristol City. Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're going to be looking for a rebound effect and, you know, a bounce back situation. And, you know, Chelsea are going to have to be on their game. And, you know, I don't know what Conte's awareness of it all is, but he must be thinking that Stoke are going to be at them. They're going to be in your face. Mark Hughes will demand that. His players will demand it of themselves. I normally would say I'd take the point here, you know, but on the back of the Arsenal thing, I think we need to win. So I'm staying with you 2-1, but I agree. A point is a possibility here. And, you know, lots of people will say, even the Manchester City's, the Man United's, you know, you've already said when you run the list of what games they've had, did you say they drew United, beat Arsenal? You know, that tells it all. They're capable. And a point here is normally a good point. But I'm going to say 2-1 us, thinking that the best team with the best players will turn out, give the best performance, and we should be good enough. But it wouldn't surprise me any other result.
Righto. Well, you know, let's hope so, mate. Let's hope we're talking next week about a win away at Stoke and everything that entails. And, of course, I think when we come back next Thursday, we would have played Atletico Madrid away in the Champions League. So there'll be lots to talk about next week, as always, as well as previewing the next game, which, of course, is Man City at home. So it's a pretty big week for us next week. But I'm looking forward to it already. Before I say cheerio to Kerry, just remind you all that we are sponsored by the lovely ChelseaFan12.com people. So do go and check their website out for all of their memorabilia, news and videos. Kerry, as always, mate, it's been a fantastic pleasure. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Stoke game and we'll catch up again next week.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave. Enjoyed it.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.